Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another nice-looking day. Sun has come out. Looks like it's going to be a pleasant evening for a little baseball over at the ballpark this tonight. And a big night around college basketball. Auburn with another day before they play their next SEC game late tomorrow night against the Arkansas Razorbacks. And as they continue, you know, getting ready for the next game after that huge win over the weekend in Tuscaloosa. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Drew, the regular crew here on a Tuesday. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Great to see you guys, and it's good to be back after, you know, a day off yesterday where it was fun to get, you know, some of the gang together and watch the lovely ceremony involving Mr. and Mrs. Justin Lee, you know, a guy who's been on our show before, and a guy who does a great job covering various Auburn University sports for the for the OA News. So yeah, congratulations again to Justin. It was a shame that I had to miss yesterday, especially after one of the biggest weekends in the history of Auburn men's basketball. But I had an excused absence, I thought, yesterday, and it's great to be back today. I called in at 5 to talk a little bit about just the titanic victory for Bruce Pearl and company. I mean to go in there and pull it off with, after, you know, it's low on the list now when you think about, you know, what the win means, but it was after one of Auburn's more mortal weeks of the season, right? When you think about the way they'd looked against Vanderbilt, and of course how the Florida game had played out for Auburn to bounce back the way they did, just incredible, and they have to somehow put that in the rearview mirror and get ready to play another game tomorrow night.
Yeah, against an Arkansas team that is fighting, trying to, you know, stay in the picture there. You know, it seems like they just sort of go, they're in, they're on the bubble, they're in.
Are they doing the cha-cha? Or is it a little bit like, are they doing
it? Seems like it. Yeah, they're in and out.
Doing a little, two steps forward.
Two steps back.
Cha-cha-cha.
A win over the number one team in the country on the road would be a huge step toward locking down an NCAA berth.
Now, I've made this point about Arkansas before, and we'll see how dangerous they are tomorrow night against Auburn. But that is a team, and I think Texas and Arkansas are the two teams that really come to mind for me as far as if they were to play their way into the tournament this month, they would be very dangerous bubble teams. Like, they'd be very dangerous. Oh, yeah. 11, 12 seeds based on how talented their rosters are, and I think that's something, and we'll see if it bears out and they end up being, you know, Cinderellas to a degree, but I think they have the makings of that. I think Arkansas has they have the talent to have a better record than the one they have right now. They gave away some games against inferior teams in January, but they're getting better seemingly by the week. John L. Davis is someone who's been the best player on a Final Four team at FAU, and they've got some of the players that came over from Kentucky around him. I think with Big Z and Thiero and Adu, right? Like they've got a pretty impressive front court. You know, not to mention Brazil, right? Who's still coming off the bench and contributing somewhat, although it seems like maybe the injuries have really caught up to him and taken away some of his explosiveness, which made him such a dangerous player earlier in his career. But if Arkansas, you know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. I think Auburn is a very tough draw for any road opponent, inside Neville Arena. There's a reason, you know, Auburn has, aside, you know, before the Florida game, Auburn had one of the better win streaks in the conference. You know, going that it had been about a year since Auburn's last home conference loss before the Florida game. So we'll see if Arkansas has the stuff to go on the road and get a win like that. But I do think that's a team that's better than the win loss record tells you right now.
Yes, they are. I
mean, and better, like, and I think they have the potential to be a sneaky team in the postseason. If they can play their way into, especially if they can play their way into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team, don't forget, I mean, they're a team that a lot of people really thought a lot of preseason. They were ranked around number 15
yeah.
preseason. So, I mean, they have talent. And Cal has you know, he's pulled off a win or two in his career.
DJ Wagner, of course, you know, who's had a star-crossed career so far in college basketball. But when he's effective, you see why he was one of the top five, top 10 players coming out of the country.
No question.
Coming out of high school, he was around. Would it be fair to say that he's in the ballpark of Aiden as a recruit, DJ Wagner? You know, they're both second year.
I believe he was a little higher ranked.
Maybe even a little higher ranked. So that's the kind of talent they've got in the backcourt, is a guy, Jonnell Davis, who was the best player on that FAU team that made that run in the tournament a year and a half ago, and then or 2 years ago. And then you've got a guy like DJ Wagner, who by the way could become, When he gets to the, you know, just like Bronny, you know, when Bronny and LeBron played together, it was the first time that when DJ Wagner plays in an NBA game, and it's believed that it's his second.
It's not
year,
unlikely.
But, yeah. No. When DJ Wagner, he'll be the first third generation mm-hmm. NBA player ever. His dad was DeJuan Wagner from 20 years ago or so in the NBA. And then his grandfather
played at Louisville and was a great player.
Yeah,
Milt.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Arkansas' profile is there a, you know, I think they're a team, and we talked about this last year a little bit with them, and we'll see what's changed. But they are lacking maybe glue pieces. Like, they've got the superstars, they've got the big flashy mm-hmm. pieces. It's the guys willing to go out there and do. First of all, it's the defense that maybe, you know, they can match some of the best teams in the conference offensively, but are those guys willing to play dirty work defense for 40 minutes like the best teams defensively in this league, like an Auburn, like a Florida, like a Tennessee? And do they have the pieces in, like, do they have the Chris Moores? Do they have the guys that are willing to give you the Dillons, right? Like, do they have guys willing to give you the really important off ball, not in the stat sheet sort of minutes? Because without that, you can, you know, those holes can they can show up.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that combined with the fact that you know, it's basically a brand new roster with a now Cal, you know, is familiar with a couple of guys. Was familiar with a couple of the guys, but there's so many new players all coming together in that new system that here's where you think about that. This is something that if they can build a little chemistry, play together, they can be dangerous down the stretch, because the pieces, you feel like the pieces are there if they can just fit them together.
How much Cade Ballou did you guys talk about yesterday? Because the basketball game was so big.
Yeah, we didn't get into it very – we did mention it.
Man.
I mean, obviously about what a
you were there.
Moving moment. Yes.
You were there. I would think, I was not in the stadium on Friday night, but I would think that's,
there were a lot of people there.
There were attendance record, right?
Yes.
Is that the I mean,
yeah, and they'll set more, I mean, as we get into conference play, but what a great opening weekend, and what a great moment in the opening game.
Yeah, I would just think that's something you remember forever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's going to be one of those things for the folks that were there at the stadium, and certainly for the guys who were on the call, like, for, you know, for everybody on the team, and certainly Cade. Like, that's going to be one of those things that's just like, I mean, your heart goes out, but what an incredible moment.
You know, absolutely, and you wonder, you know,
for the guy to play it all,
how,
right?
Yeah, how,
first of
how
all,
he was able to, well, not just play, but to stay focused at all, to have any focus at all.
And if you've seen, you know, I know ABC News did a thing on the nightly news last night. You know, they sort of wrapped.
Is that right?
Yeah, they wrapped up the ABC nightly news with that. You know, on last night's broadcast. You know, showing folks and they mentioned that, you know, he you know, his mom would have wanted him to play, so that's the reason he was out there in the lineup. But you're right, Bill, to be able to focus and be able to deliver like that, just incredible.
Yeah, and he had a couple of hits there, and Auburn back in action tonight. A top 25 matchup tonight.
How about that?
As number 25 Auburn hosting number 24 Troy.
Yeah, I had to be careful because so I don't know how much I've talked about this on the show, but like the Troy basketball team and the Troy athletic department has been incredibly generous as far as giving me gear over the last few seasons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Troy, and to the point where a lot of my casual wear. Is Troy branded Adidas stuff?
Sure,
I had to be a little careful about wearing that around town today, right, Bill? I mean, you had to, so you know, people might wonder.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, which side are you on with the, you know, with the Troy Trojans? How about the top 25 Troy Trojans baseball team coming in to face off with the Auburn Tigers tonight? And Bill, I would think that this is still true that even though the Sun Belt is an excellent mid-major. In college baseball, with programs like Coastal and JMU and South Alabama and Troy, Georgia Southern, like you've got some really good teams in there. I would still think that for a Sun Belt team coming into an SEC stadium on a midweek, it's a huge game for a Sun Belt team because that game can end up mattering a lot.
Sure,
on Selection Sunday. An SEC team is going to have so many quad one games just because of the conference schedule. The Sun Belt team might not have as many shots to play like this. So I think if you're Troy, like this is a huge opportunity to pick up a win over a team from the SEC that could really help your computer numbers down the stretch. For Auburn, it's a chance to show yourself against an in-state top 25 opponent for, you know, and one of the better mid-majors in all of college baseball.
Yeah, I mean, and it's I mean, since it's so early, You're still learning. I mean, Butch Thompson's still, you know, learning how I was talking about pieces fitting together. For Arkansas, two-thirds of the way through the season. This early in the season, I mean, he's still trying to find out, are the guys going to perform the way he expected in preseason camp? Looking for, looking for where the pitchers are going to be able to fit. You got Carson Myers. The senior lefty on the mound for the Tigers tonight. I see he's going against someone who threw an inning over the weekend for Troy. So, I mean, sometimes when you're playing a Troy, you'll get one of their weekend starters. And I'm not really familiar with the Troy starter tonight.
And with Bellarmine coming in this weekend, maybe Troy held off on holding. Maybe Troy saved a starter for the Auburn game.
Yeah,
midweek. We'll see what they decided to do. But you want to take a break and call Andy?
Yeah, we're gonna have the voice of the Tigers joining us here for a segment early on, as we usually have him. He's already over the ballpark, I am sure. 6 o'clock first pitch.
Okay, so let's tease Andy Burcham coming up.
Yep.
Special celebrity mystery guest.
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
At 5 o'clock,
Dan just told me it's a special mystery
guest. Got confirmation in the last hour or so that we were a go, so we're going to have a special celebrity mystery guest at 5 o'clock, and then our buddy Jake Crane at the bottom of the hour.
Yep,
at the bottom of the 5 o'clock
hour. Bottom of the 5 o'clock hour. That's right. So come on in and join us after we have Andy on. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, we'll get to our first break, back with the voice of the Tigers here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Don't buy the lie.
ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're going to head to the Drive hotline. And not only, We're very thrilled to be joined by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, who not only is joining us with a ball game about an hour and a half away. The pregame is less than an hour and a half away over on Wings 94.3, but he's joining us on his birthday. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Typically, I've got a basketball or baseball game.
And there's nothing wrong with that on your birthday at all.
No, not at all.
Well, that's great. I mean, last week when we talked to you, you talked about how excited you were to be a part of that ball game Saturday up in Tuscaloosa, and even more excited now that it turned out the way that it did. What an unbelievable show and showcase that was for Auburn basketball.
I thought that the game lived up to number one versus number two, Bill. The fact that Auburn went into Tuscaloosa, and it's the best atmosphere I've ever seen at Coleman Coliseum for basketball. It was fabulous on Saturday. I mean, the place was packed. Every nook and cranny of Coleman Coliseum was occupied. A lot of Auburn people there, but Auburn gets off to such a good start in both halves. Jumps out to a 9-0 lead in the first half, and then Denver Jones hits his first three threes in the second half, and although Alabama came back and tied the game on a couple of occasions in the second half, for the first time in Nate Oates' career at Alabama, Alabama never led in that game at Coleman Coliseum. First time that's ever happened at Coleman Coliseum for a Nate Oates coach ball club. So a huge win for Auburn, and right back at it tomorrow night, the first of three in a row at Neville Arena with Arkansas in town tomorrow night.
Andy, I was struck by in multiple post-game media appearances, including, I believe, on the radio with you guys, Bruce Pearl talked about, you know, it was almost like gratitude to be able to coach in a game like this with these two programs having reached this level that they can be the main event, not just of a college basketball Saturday, but maybe of a college basketball regular season. And yeah, just sort of like, you know, a sense of what Bruce was like post game and players in particular Bruce wanted to talk about when he sat down with you.
Well, it's the second time that he's coached in this game before, one versus two.
Mm-hmm.
The first time was 17 years ago when he was at Tennessee when they won at Memphis. And I think they then moved to number one, and I think they were there for 1 week. Tennessee was. Auburn's been there for 6 weeks. And the only other team that's been there longer in the history of the SEC is Kentucky. So that's not terribly surprising. It does surprise me that Auburn's the first team since Kentucky to be there for 6 weeks as the number one team in the country. So, listen, you look at that game and look at where the program was when Bruce Pearl took over 11 years ago, where the SEC was, for that matter, 11 years ago. And now you look at it, and, you know, we've talked about it before. Joe Lunardi has as many as 13 teams from the SEC in the NCAA tournament this year. And Saturday was number one versus number two for the first time in SEC basketball history, the first time in Auburn, Alabama history. And, you know, the first ratings came out, and there are three teams with number one seeds right now: Auburn, Alabama, and Florida. Duke, the only other team in there with a number one seed. So, listen, there's a long way to go. There's six games left in this regular season, and a lot of things will happen and can happen over the last 3 weeks of the Southeastern Conference season. The thing that struck me about this, and I've been part of big games on both the men's and women's side in the past, and big games in the regular season. Hey, this can't be the peak of the season for Auburn. This isn't the be-all, end-all for Auburn. There's a regular season SEC championship. There is an SEC tournament championship. And maybe even most important, there is a deep run and a possible national championship for this Auburn basketball program. I think that that bar has shifted.
Oh, yes.
For Auburn this season. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. The bar has definitely moved up from the preseason. And right now, it's obvious that Auburn is capable of achieving any of those goals. And, I mean, as you were talking, I mean, 5 of the top 7 teams in the nation now are here in the SEC. Auburn is going to have played most of the top 10 right. teams in the country because they still have Texas A&M and another rematch with Alabama coming up when you're looking at the top 10. And, of course, Kentucky's not top 10, but you've got to go on the road there. But the SEC regular season title is that first goal, I think, that Auburn has wanted to achieve. And they're in really good shape now because Alabama has a tougher schedule, let's face it, than Auburn yeah. does down the stretch. But Auburn surely can't let up, and you don't want to have any kind of slide or anything as you come down the stretch.
No, you're right, Bill. And Saturday was a big step to an SEC regular season championship because Auburn mm-hmm. opened up a two-game lead on Alabama at this point. And Alabama's schedule is really tough. And it starts with Missouri this week in
tonight.
Columbia.
Yep.
And they are really tough, especially at home. I understand there's all kinds of snow up there, and I wonder what kind of effect that will have on the crowd at Mizzou Arena tomorrow night. So, but they still have Florida. They still have Auburn at Auburn. Auburn, you know, that trip to Kentucky is big because, well, Bill, you were on the last call for Auburn winning in Lexington.
It's time, Andy. It's time.
I know it. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with you. But it's time to erase that losing streak there. And then, and I think even tougher than that is that road game at Texas A&M, which is the road mm-hmm. finale in the Southeastern Conference. And then likely to be a top 10 battle on the road again for this Auburn team before it comes home to play Alabama in the regular season finale. But it all starts tomorrow night with Arkansas. We've seen what Arkansas can do on the road in a big ball game with that win by Arkansas at Kentucky a little bit earlier this season.
Janai was enormous in helping Auburn get that start going against Alabama, and just in general, the way Auburn protected the rim was a big reason why they were able to win that game. I think the way they guarded the three-point line and the way they protected the rim sort of worked hand-in-hand on Saturday. Janai had that stretch where he was limping pretty badly. You know, there was worry of re-aggravation of the injury. What's your sense of how Janai's feeling coming out of the game on Saturday?
I wish I could give you a better answer than I have. I've not been around the team since then. I've not heard of anything lingering with regard to Saturday's game with Janai, but I don't know when Janai will be healthy again. Because, you know, as Bill has mentioned a couple times, you know, Auburn's already had that bye week. So there's not a week to prep. There's not a week to rest getting ready. So, I mean, it's two games a week, maybe even three if you play in the championship game of the SEC tournament coming up. So there's just not a lot of room to rest at this point. But let me just say this. What Auburn has done, Clark Pearson and Mike Goodlett and that medical staff, and what Janai has done to be ready to play. And I don't know if he'll be 100% by the end of the season, but the fact that he only missed two games in that, and then with that shoulder injury early this season, didn't miss a game, as a result. I mean, it shows you that young man's resolve and the rehab work that the medical staff at Auburn does as well.
No question about it. And then Chad obviously didn't look like himself for a couple of ball games. It was good to see him moving as well as he did and playing as well as he did Saturday.
I think he's absolutely vital to Auburn for the rest of this season and however deep Auburn makes a run in the NCAA tournament. He's one of those X factors, in my opinion, because he can do so many things. And he is so vital. And he's energy. I mean, he's energy when he comes into a ball game or starts a ball game. And he tends to draw the ire of opposing fans, doesn't he? It really doesn't seem to bother him too much, quite frankly.
No. No. Andy, the basketball game tomorrow night late. I think it's a good thing for Auburn that they get the extra day, that they're not playing on Tuesday after such an emotional game up in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. But as you said, this Arkansas team, we were talking about it a little while ago, this Arkansas team was ranked as high as 15 or so in the preseason. They have talent. They've shown what they can do on the road. And I know that's one thing Bruce has mentioned multiple times, is after that first win on the road in that 1-2 matchup in Memphis years ago, his team turned around and was thumped by Vandy. So I'm sure he's pounding that into the players' heads that, hey, you can't enjoy that one. Yeah, it goes on the trophy shelf, but that one's not going to carry you through tomorrow night at Neville Arena.
Well, we came out of the Florida game wondering how this team would respond with two games on the road at traditionally tough Vanderbilt. And then, of course, the Alabama game. And Auburn responded just fine in both of those. Now, how does Auburn respond after the biggie, you know, number one versus number two? And now you're back at home for three straight games. So how does Auburn respond to that win on Saturday? Does it come out with its hair on fire tomorrow night against Arkansas? Or does it have to ease into that ball game? It's going to be fascinating to see. My guess is Auburn comes out with his hair on fire tomorrow night.
Boy, they have really started. I mean, each of the last few ball games, they've gotten off to very quick starts.
15-0 start at Vanderbilt and a 9-0 start at Alabama. Now, it should also be noted that both of those teams came back.
That is right.
On Auburn. I mean, Vanderbilt had a 3-point lead in the second half a week ago tonight, and that's when Chaney Johnson decided he was going to take the game over, and buddy, did he. And then, you know, Alabama falls behind 9-0 on Saturday night, makes the run that we knew was coming, but could not get beyond a tie game, could never get the lead. So not only did Auburn jump out to big leads and get off to very good starts in both of those games, they withstood a comeback by the home team as well.
Of course, Andy is at the ballpark, baseball tonight, a top 25 matchup. Number 25, Auburn, hosting number 24, Troy.
Troy had no trouble with Bellarmine this past weekend, sweeping that series. A couple former Auburn guys on this roster, including Mikey Bello, who was an outfielder for the Tigers. Drew Nelson, a former pitcher for Auburn on the Troy roster. Troy has played Auburn tough no matter where.
Yes, they have.
Especially here at Plainsman Park. So a very, very tough game for Auburn. And Auburn begins the stretch where it plays five games in 6 days, with Troy tonight, then North Alabama tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock in a game that's moved up to 4 o'clock, and then Wright State on the weekend. So a tough stretch of baseball for Auburn, especially early in this season. Carson Myers gets the start for Auburn tonight. Left-hander had a very good weekend in his Friday appearance in relief and gets the start tonight against a predominant left-handed hitting Troy ball club here tonight.
And, Andy, I was a little surprised, and a couple of folks asked me about it. Auburn takes 2 out of 3 over the weekend, including finally, you know, breaking out the bats late this past weekend. But Butch Thompson didn't sound like he was really thrilled with Auburn's performance.
He talked about it a little bit with Brad after the game on Sunday, and was a little more vociferous in his comments with the media. And then we sat down today for This Week in Auburn Baseball, and I don't think this team is to where it needs to be. He feels this team isn't where it should be,
right,
even this early in the season. And I think that's in all phases, pitching, defense, and hitting as well. So you want to get a win, you want a series win, and Auburn did that. But you know, he was quick to say, "Listen, we finally got the bats going." Basically, when Holy Cross ran out of pitching on Sunday, and he wants that kind of hitting, regardless of who they're facing and regardless of where it is in a game or a series. So I think that this is game one. After that, it'll be interesting to see how this ball club comes out tonight. Eric Guevara is in Auburn's lineup tonight.
Oh, is that right?
But he will not play. He will not play.
Okay.
Auburn will pinch hit for Eric in his very first at bat. They want the ability to pinch hit using a righty or a lefty. Mm-hmm. Considering where Troy is in the lineup tonight,
which I
don't remember Butch Thompson doing that.
No, I don't. I like that. That's interesting. And what you were just saying obviously lets you know the expectations that Butch and his staff have of this team. So it'll be really interesting to see as the Tigers take on a very quality team in Troy this evening. Andy, thanks. Before we let you go, let us know what all. I mean, we talked about baseball and the basketball, but what all's on tap as far as the network's concerned?
Yeah, we're on the air tonight at 5:45 on Wings 94.3 and across the Auburn Sports Network. Baseball tomorrow, right here on ESPN 106.7. It's a 4 o'clock start, so 3:45 the airtime. Brad Law on the call. Of course, we've got Auburn basketball tomorrow night. Auburn and Arkansas at 8. Our pregame coverage starts at 7:30 on the Auburn Sports Network. Thursday, we're at Baumhauer's for Tiger Talk. Butch Thompson and Bruce Pearl will join us from Baumhauer's on Thursday. And then Friday, it's a 2:30 start for Auburn and Wright State. Brad now have that call at 2:15. Saturday, Auburn at home in a 3 o'clock game against Georgia. It's a noon start for baseball that day. And then Sunday's game has been moved up to 1 o'clock. So that's a 12:45 call on Sunday from the ballpark. And on the Talking Tigers podcast this week, you can hear from Bryant Smith, the captain on Auburn's 1999 SEC championship team. And coming up in a week, Sonny DeShera, who is leaving this weekend for spring training. But we talked to him for about 35 minutes today about that 2022 magical season,
right,
and his career now in pro ball. So all of that coming up on the Auburn Sports Network.
That's great. Looking forward to all that, and also looking forward to some afternoon baseball. I love it. So everybody at the ballpark, make sure you wish Andy a happy birthday.
Oh, okay, yes. But bundle up, too, because it's going to be chilly.
It is. Thanks again, Andy.
Take care. Have a great one, guys. War Eagle.
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us when he can. He's here in the studio. If not, we love when we have every opportunity to talk with him. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Open up our phone lines. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us from the ballpark, Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. Auburn-Troy baseball coming up tonight. Bruce Pearl, was just met with the media about an hour ago, a little over an hour ago. Arkansas had the gym for a closed practice, had Neville Arena for a closed practice until around 2. So Bruce was going to meet with the media sometime a little after 3.
Yeah, and Bruce was asked at his media availability about Chad Baker-Mazzara going back into the starting lineup. And again, I don't think it's necessarily just about Chad's health, right? Like, I think there's some of this that's about getting some minutes for Chris that lighten the load for Chad and Denver and Miles.
And you know what? It has worked really well, as we talked about the starts that Auburn has gotten off to.
Yeah, I think there's something to it that's not necessarily. I mean, because do you remember Chad played?
He came off the bench all last year.
Well, and he played
most of the time.
And he played all 20 minutes in the second half against Vanderbilt for a guy who had health questions going in. And seemingly, well, I think it was the ESPN call on Saturday of the Alabama game, where they were like, well, we weren't sure if we were going to see Chad Baker-Mazzara today.
And well, Bruce had told them that he was injured in practice Friday and banged his shoulder.
Right, and Chad, if something came up, you know, very late in the, you know, that's a little different, obviously. But no, I mean, I think some of it is strategy involving how to maximize the minutes you get from Chris Moore without Ja'Kai in the picture, without J.P. Pegues in the picture. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if Chris Moore continues to start and play 10-15 minutes a game, depending on the situation, and those minutes are really valuable, because otherwise those minutes might overexpose a Miles or a Tejad or a Denver or a Chad.
I don't know about overexposed.
Well, you just, I mean, we'll go, just, I think if you have those four, if those
might,
four are,
might, what's the word? Over
overextend?
Overexert them?
Yeah, overextend. Yeah,
that,
sure.
That's it. Yeah, I think that's it. That's it.
But it's all, you know, sort of the same idea that they're getting, yeah, they would be getting,
it's
too many.
It's not going to expose. I mean, it's like people, they're not, you know, it's not like, oh, they're going to find the flaws in them. But no, it's great if you can keep them as fresh.
Sure.
As possible.
Overexpose them to too many minutes.
Yeah. You know, since we were talking yesterday, I mean, there are a lot of teams. I mean, a lot of teams nationally that would love to have the situation Auburn has with four players as talented as those four to play three spots, but you still need some more minutes. You still need some more minutes somewhere.
And most teams aren't playing Bruce Pearl's style of basketball.
No, that is right.
Either. They're not defending the way Bruce expects his perimeter players to defend. They're not playing at the pace that Bruce Pearl wants his offense played at. So, I mean, I think there's that too where, you know, you can – because it sounds great to go into a game with four – with four perimeter players playing all the minutes. If something happens to one of them, suddenly the other three have to play all of the minutes in that situation.
Well, figure it. I mean, if you're only playing four players for those three spots, they're playing 30 minutes a game each. And Bruce does not want to play his guys 30 minutes or more. If possible, he'd like to play them 20 to 25 minutes. So you've got to have those extra minutes coming somewhere from each of those three positions.
Right, and 10 to 15 minutes from Chris.
15 will get you down to 25 for all those guys.
Right, and you haven't seen, we've talked about like the other options to extend perimeter. I mean, I guess the other option on the board would be playing Chaney at the three and trying to get, but
I don't know defensively if that's optimal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think of the, you know, so of the, I mean, we don't know what the story is with Ja'Kai,
right.
We don't know what the JP Pegues.
See, Ja'Kai and JP were you know, expected to be playing significant minutes.
I think that if one of the four perimeter players getting heavy minutes, if one of them was facing a long-term injury, like if something happened to one of them that sort of jeopardized like the rest of their season, maybe at that point, Ja'Kai and or JP would get,
somebody would have to, yeah.
One would think. Yeah. I mean that would be that would that's almost what it would take. Again, without knowing what's going on behind the scenes with Ja'Kai, like that's almost what it would take for Auburn to put one of those guys back in the mix.
Yeah,
and yet they're still one of the top teams in the nearly unanimous number one in
every metric, though. Every single thing points to Auburn. I mean, they have played the best basketball of any team in the country, and it really hasn't been close.
And did the Alabama game break the record for quad one wins by an SEC team? I believe that was,
it should have.
Because I thought the Vanderbilt game tied it, and the Alabama. Now we'll see if that. Now, that can change over the course of the season.
That's the crazy thing is sometimes you have to keep going back and making sure that every quad one win,
you know,
quad one game is still quad one.
And Jake was like vehemently against that on the show last week during his call.
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to do that with quad one, but I think when you're talking about ranked teams, I agree with his statement on ranked teams. If you play a team and they're ranked and you beat them – then you should get credit for a ranked win.
Oh, and I don't think – I mean, when we talk about, like, Auburn and their last win over – it's not did the team finish in the top 25, right? I mean, it was the team
– right.
I mean, no, and I think that's the right way to do it as far as capturing
the
moment.
So I'm there with the ranked, but I understand the quad one because it has to change.
Yeah, and what stinks, and I think this was Jake's point, is that you could play a team pre-collapse.
Right.
Right, like you could play a team when they've got all their players and they're playing hard – And
playing well,
and you could cause a team's collapse and ultimately get no credit or even worse, get punished for it, depending on how their computer numbers finish up. But that's almost like that's I guess just the risk everybody takes by competing in this situation.
Yeah,
like,
because you know top 25 wins don't go into determining rank or seeding, but the quad one wins.
But he's right. I mean, imagine for a second, like, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but like if Auburn beat Georgia so badly on Saturday that like Georgia packed it in for the rest of the season and went on a 6-game losing streak or something to close out, the win wouldn't look as impressive. But it's like, well, but you're but But you know, when you beat them, they were a bubble team. You know, it's I think that's, and that was all, you know, that was the argument Jake was making, is that there should be some way to sort of be, it should be of the moment. I still think with quad one, quad two, I think the best way to do it is to factor in what the teams did, factor in the entire body of work, because otherwise, like very early in the season, it's a guess.
Oh yeah, right. That's,
I mean,
right.
If you're talking about like a
and I know it's confusing at times, because you'll go, well, didn't they have that many last week? Because a team, you know, could have dropped down to a quad two.
Sure, so. the teams in the 30s can stay in and out of quad. You know, they can jump in and out of quad one depending on where in the 30s they are, Auburn, or how close to 50 they are.
Am I wrong? I don't think Auburn had a quad one victory at this time a year ago.
Ooh,
remember it was late.
I'm trying to remember.
Maybe
what Auburn's,
they did, but
I'm
it was
trying,
like
I thought they picked it up in January.
Yeah, well, maybe, but it was crazy late. But I mean, you look at the SEC now. I mean, that's where the SEC has taken an even such a big step this year.
There were times in January where like USC would get close to becoming a quad one win last season, but I don't think Auburn picked one up that was like relatively comfortable.
Until they were like, in maybe conference play.
Maybe Ole Miss, maybe in Oxford.
May have been.
Like it was.
And then
they,
of course, I don't know that they were by the end of the year, though, were they?
Exactly. So. I think like in the moment, it might have been, it might have been one of those games, yeah.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one.
Don't forget, special celebrity guest to kick off hour number two. You're not going to want to miss it.
Bill does not know who it is. I'm interested. I'm very excited because I have no idea. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number one here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Dan, Brian and I talked, spent a pretty much of a segment talking about the expected proposals and changes at college football. Did you see? Was it Dellinger or who? I forgot. There was a long story article written over the weekend that talking about the SEC and the Big Ten and how they control. But still, the ACC and the Big 12 are going to have to agree. But the expectations that not only are the playoffs going to move to 14, but most likely 16, and that could very well – that's expected to bring along a 9-game conference schedule for the Southeastern Conference. And we'd been talking about the conference championship. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, the possibility of the SEC doing away with its conference championship – and matching up the numbers 3 and 6 and 4 and 5 teams to earn the 3rd and 4th berths from the SEC.
Yeah, the extra, we talked about this before, the idea that conference championship game could be, you know, the conference championship weekend could become bubble team weekend.
Play-in,
you
games.
Know, it's your last chance to get in. The only thing, I'm not crazy about reserved bids per conference. The idea that you'll have,
I think you're going to get them though.
Yeah, but I sort of wish the committee would just pick. After, you know, if you wanted to pick a certain number, I'm not even crazy about, honestly, I would just say let the committee pick the top 16 seeds and seed them accordingly. And if a majority of them happen to be from the SEC or the Big Ten, because the computer numbers bear that out, that's how it should be. But I'd almost prefer that process to, we've got.
In pure, yeah, I mean, if you really want to get, if you want to have the 16 best teams, that's what you ought to do.
A point of,
But the big conferences, they want guarantees in case it's not a great year for their league.
Yeah, and that's to me, you know, when it's not a great year for your league, maybe you don't need four or five teams.
That's right, I agree with that.
In the playoff, like maybe that's something that the committee could discuss in debate and you know, and democracy could prevail in that situation. I don't know. I would just that's the only part. Like a lot of it felt inevitable, and I sort of understand, but I don't love the idea of reserving a certain number of spots beyond conference champions. Maybe Like, if you want to guarantee, if you want to guarantee the four conference champions of the four major conferences and go 12 at-larges for 12 spots with the committee choosing, if you want to go five conference champions and
figure it out. Well, if they do that, though, and the leagues are wanting to try to get away from penalizing the loser, I mean, how are you going to do that without conference champs? Do you just have co-champs? Just both of them get in?
I know. I mean, or the... You know, you figure out some way to give somebody the automatic qualifier, or you don't have automatic qualifiers, which would also eliminate this.
Yeah,
you know, at that point,
that would be the fairest and I think the best way. But I don't think there's any way.
Yeah,
there's no way that that's going to be acceptable. I do like that. We think this would get the SEC to a 9-game schedule.
Sankey would tell us, easy for you to say.
Right.
Like it's easy from where we sit to say the best way to do this is to just let the committee pick the best 16 teams and seed them accordingly. The SEC commissioner, the Big Ten commissioner would say, if I approve that, it would be the last thing I do.
Yeah.
That is true. In my capacity as the commissioner of those leagues.
And the other thing that's cool is this apparently is being talked about leading to an SEC Big Ten challenge as well. Not just a 9-game conference schedule, but a yearly matchup against a Big Ten team. I'd like that. All right, we're halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Dan's special guest, our special guest, but I don't know who it is, will be joining us. That's what we're told, at least, when we come back for hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And hour number two of the drive brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
That's right, and we really appreciate our folks at Southeastern Industrial Contractors who sponsor the podcast. If you missed any of our number one of the show, check out the podcast. Andy Burcham hopped on to preview the Auburn basketball game against Arkansas tomorrow night, talk about Auburn's victory in Tuscaloosa, and also talk a little Auburn baseball with the Troy Trojans in town, top 25 team.
It's ladies' night at the ballpark tonight.
Interesting.
It's the wine tumbler giveaway.
Wow, very cool. Although I think wine tumblers I think that's something that's open to all genders, but still a very cool.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's just that I didn't mean that is all. It's ladies' night and wine tumbler giveaway at the ballpark tomorrow. Tomorrow is hump day. And there will be a camel at the ballpark.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's very cool.
And it's a 4 o'clock game tomorrow, so I think Kennedy's going to go to the ballpark.
I'll tell you who else is going to be. You don't get a camel tonight, but you do get something as cool as Joe Camel, as a matter of fact, and that's our special celebrity guest, our good buddy Barry McKnight joins the show, calling the game from inside Plainsman Park tonight, the voice of the Troy Trojans. How about the Troy Trojans men's basketball team picking up that big win in Jonesboro on national television against Arkansas State? Scott Cross has that program playing excellent ball. And then, of course, Skylar Meade and the Troy baseball team, they're in the house tonight. He's got them in the top 25, the voice of that program. Barry McKnight joins the drive. How you doing, Barry?
Man, you guys had me at wine tumblers. I'm telling you, I knew I was in the right place at that point.
He would not tell me who his special celebrity guest was that was going to be joining the show, Barry. So, how you doing, man?
Oh, come on, good. But a little backstory there: Bill and I have known each other for 38 years or so. He was the one that got me to come to Auburn way back when I was in school, and has been a mentor of mine, both on the radio and in the in the world around us. So yeah, I am glad to be on with you guys. Things are going well. Like Dan said, basketball teams in first place. Big win on Saturday on national television. A real gut check. Baseball team is ranked in the top 25. I don't have to tell you guys. People think you do a better job as a play-by-play announcer when you're broadcasting a lot of wins. It doesn't hurt that the Trojans are winning a lot these days.
No question about it, Barry. I mean, what a year it is for the state of Alabama in basketball. I mean, it's just amazing to look around. I mean, some folks go, yeah, Auburn and Alabama are really good. But, I mean, throughout this, throughout the state, there are teams right at the top of their conference.
Yeah, and it's you can go all the way. I mean, North Alabama leads the A-Sun. Troy and South Alabama are tied at the top of the Sun Belt. UAB, I think, is in third in the American. And Jacksonville State leads Conference USA. So, yeah, there's a lot to like. I think it's a renewed emphasis by the schools. Obviously, they have to make that investment. Certainly that's happened at Auburn. It certainly has happened at Troy. And, you know, there's really no secrets or no magic wand or anything. The more you invest in something, usually the better the return is going to be. And I think that's across the board, across the state, the reason why the basketball has enjoyed the renaissance that it has.
Oh, there's no question about it. Just enjoy it. I mean, hopefully it lasts, but I mean, it has just been amazing to be following this year.
So, Barry, we talked with Andy in hour number one, and we you know,
are you knocking next door? I mean, it's crazy now with the renovations there at Plainsman Park. Yep. Barry, you're right there in the same space, even though it's the booth is now divided.
Yeah, I thought Andy did a good job. I was making faces at him the whole time across the glass. I'm the first one actually to broadcast from the visiting radio booth here at Plainsman Park with the new configuration. So, you know, I feel honored there. But you know, it's a big game for Troy. It's a big game for Auburn as well here tonight. It's so early. You know, anybody who says that they have got a really good read on where their team is right now in college baseball is telling you a story. I mean, they're pulling your leg. Nobody really, really knows. You can look good in batting practice. That was my entire career. But when you play, it's a little bit different. So both of these teams are really on a voyage of discovery right now. But I tell you, for this Troy team, I can give your listeners a preview. They've got a couple of guys who are familiar with the area. Our All-American catcher, Brooks Bryan, is from Opelika. Mm-hmm. He has been a godsend for the Troy program. You know, he played on Team USA this summer. Of course, Drew Nelson got the start on the mound for Troy on Sunday. He's also going to be a regular position player at Troy. And, of course, getting the start in left field tonight for the Trojans is Mike Bello, who was, you know, an alternate postseason player in his freshman year, I believe, at Auburn. So, yeah, there's going to be some common interests out there for the fans who come out and watch this one.
Barry, we've seen Plainsman Park change quite a bit through the years. What are your initial thoughts here on the renovation this year?
Well, what I thought, you know, and you and I were here back when it was just aluminum bleachers.
Yes, we were.
And a Quonset hutch, all aluminum back there for a press box. And I always kind of doubted that this would ever achieve anything, really, because it's kind of landlocked here at the corner of Donahue and Sanford. You know, there's not a whole lot of space to grow out, but I love the upper deck on the right side of in the corner. I love the seats on the top of the wall in left. So it's been real creative, and they had to be creative with it. You want to be able to have more seating. You want to be able to have more amenities and everything with a limited space. I think Auburn has done a great job just in the engineering and the architecture of this thing, not to lose its unique kind of charm, but still able to seat more fans and offer more to the fan base who watches baseball.
Oh, there's no question about it. Hey, while you're giving us a little bit of a scouting report, tell us about Adam Falinski.
Falinski is he's a fastballer. He didn't pitch last year. He had arm problems last year at Eastern Michigan. He can touch 97 miles an hour.
Whoa.
He's an older pitcher in his first year at Troy. you know, transferring from Eastern Michigan. They love his arm. He's a big kid with some presence. But again, this is really the first time he is, other than an inning over the weekend, this is the first time he has started a baseball game in almost 2 years. So it's he's a guy that's got the tools, and a lot is going to be expected of him this year, but he just hasn't done it yet. And he won't pitch long, maybe a couple innings, maybe three. You know how that goes. I expect kind of the same thing from Auburn tonight as well.
Yeah, Barry, I get the sense that a lot of Auburn fans, you know, they've seen, they've heard about the success the Troy baseball program has had the last couple of years, but they don't see them too often. What can you tell folks about Skylar Meade and the way he's been able to get this thing rolling?
He's pure energy. He is absolutely always moving all the time. I was talking to some of the pitchers, and they said he's seen every one of our bullpens. Every one. And he's the head coach. He doesn't miss a bullpen session. He's all over. He's all energy. He's one of the smartest people you'll ever see. My gosh, his memory is uncanny. He can tell you pitch by pitch from back when he was in college pitching in the World Series. But his attention to detail, his energy, and just his activity. He is a relentless recruiter. He's got a young staff that relates really well to the players, and they're starting to gain a really good reputation for development. A lot. This has become kind of a place for transfers to come in who have a year, maybe two left, to really get developed and get them ready for pro ball. He's been really good at that as well.
Yeah, no question. This is a very talented team, and they hit it pretty well too, don't they?
Yeah, you know the configuration at Riddle Pace Field in Troy. It's a high wall in right, actually a little bit higher than the wall in left here at Plainsman Park, and it's only 312 feet away.
Right.
So you know the fans who come out here, you'll know it is a lefty centric batting order. I mean, I think we got one right-hander in the lineup and one switch hitter, that's Shane Lewis, but everything else is left-handed to try to get to that wall in right at Riddle Pace Field, and they are not shy about swinging it. It's going to be, it's a team that's aggressive in the count. They've been taking a lot of walks in the first week of the year, the first weekend, which has been a major surprise because they're up there to hit. Make no mistake about that.
Well, I know that, they're a team that has really – hit quite a few home runs over the last few years since Skylar's been there, and that's why Auburn starts. One of the reasons Auburn's starting Carson Meyer is because he's a lefty.
Yeah, and that's what Troy's going to have to see all year. Might as well get used to it because that's going to be the obvious antidote that people are going to try against that left-handed lineup. One of the real interesting things to see for those who come out, the switch hitter in the lineup. He's batting seventh today. Shane Lewis. 2 years ago, he set the school record and was second in the nation in home runs. He hit 27 2 years ago. Last year, he was not good. He hit below 200, I think maybe six homers, and he was a Sun Belt Pitcher of the Year 2 years ago and wasn't a starter by the middle of the year last year. But he had three home runs over the weekend, and he looked like the old Shane Lewis. And if he's good, he's definitely a draft pick, maybe a top five, top eight draft pick. He's a guy with a tremendous amount of talent, but boy, he's been up and down.
Well, it should be fun. As Andy said, bundle up. It's not going to be freezing, but it's going to be chilly at the ballpark this evening. So should be a good crowd. We'll be in there a little later on. You at least have the good vantage point. I'm going to sit in my seats instead of sitting in the press area tonight, Barry. I mean,
that's not bad.
Have you seen where they are?
Down here.
Have you seen? I mean, they're way down at the end of the right field stand. It gets us into the stadium. I mean, you know, that's the way it is. But
yes.
Hey, Barry, before we let you go, what a patient person Barry McKnight is. I mean, he is. One of the nicest folks you'll ever know, and he has continued to put up with John Longshore for decades now, and you're still doing it. Let everybody know how they can keep up with you, Barry.
Yeah, it's Longshore and McKnight. It's on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and just search Longshore and McKnight. 2 hours live in the morning on camera, me and him from 7 until 9. It loops throughout the day if you miss it. But, yeah, it's been going on since August, since we both left the radio business, so to speak. And it's a lot of fun. Have a good time. We talked with Andy yesterday. We've got a lot of different things going on. It's just a lot of fun. YouTube, just search Longshore and McKnight, 7 to 9 every weekday morning.
Our first time getting to talk to you as well since the exciting news last month. We did get to talk to Larry Blakeney about going into the Hall of Fame. That was very cool. And you called a lot of those games. I know how excited folks are down in Troy. But Barry, you also, you know, named the Alabama Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Media Association.
Yeah, that's exactly
well
right.
Deserved, and congratulations from all of us here at the Drive.
I appreciate it very much. This place holds a special place for me. I lived here for over 20 years, and you know, raised my child here. I remember so many great times here. It's all just a big journey. This was definitely a bright spot in that journey this year. Thanks for the congratulations.
Great to hear from you, Barry. Yeah, don't be a stranger. We'll definitely keep in touch.
Anytime, fellas. Good to hear from you too, as well.
What's the men's basketball team doing this week? You guys at home?
Yeah, at home. Finally, Thursday, 6 o'clock against Louisiana. Saturday at home at 3:30 against Coastal Carolina. Then back on the road for the final two games next week, and then postseason is upon us, gentlemen. Get ready.
Barry, I might see you tonight, and I will see you in Pensacola.
Yeah, at the very least. At the very least, we'll see you in Pensacola. Dan's not very hard to find in Pensacola.
Very hard to find, period. I mean, so...
He is approaching legendary status in Pensacola these days.
I can't wait.
By the way, Tex said to tell Silk hello, so...
Yeah. My man. Oh, I'm hearing from so many of my old friends. That means a lot to me as well.
All right, but Barry, thanks again, man. Really appreciate the time. Have a great broadcast tonight, and maybe I'll see you at the park.
That sounds good. Take care.
All right. Barry McKnight. Yep.
Did I deliver on the special guest?
Did.
I mean,
yeah,
come
did.
On.
I should have figured that one out.
I didn't tell you it was topical until like the very right. until the last right. second. But it was it was very cool of Barry to find some time for us. And yeah, he's going to be calling that game in just a matter of minutes. You can catch Auburn Troy. You can catch the Auburn Sports Network call of it on the on Wings 94.3 before
right.
the end of the hour.
5:45 will be the pregame with Andy and Brad. We'll get to our first break here of hour number two. We'll open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive, 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive with Bill and Dan. Yeah, thanks to Barry McKnight. Man, it's like reunion times. I mean, folks that I've known for a long time. Barry, this hour, Andy in the first hour. Jake, Jake I've known since he was a youngster playing T-ball.
We've known Jake for over 20 years used to have his dad on and of course the fellow calling the game for ESPN Plus tonight is Lynn Rollins. One of the two guys doing it is Lynn, who's a sports broadcaster. We should have him on sometime. He's local to the Auburn area. He does a lot of work for ESPN Plus around the Southeast in women's basketball. He called I think he called an LSU game that I did. He called the Troy LSU game for the women. But I've seen Lynn around at different times, and I saw his name on Andy's email tonight as he's one of the guys doing the game for TV. So we know the Auburn guy. We know someone from the Auburn call. We know someone from the Troy call.
How about that?
And we know somebody from the TV call tonight.
Oh, that's cool. That at the ballpark this evening. I mentioned it. Yes, it's. They've got a couple of promotions, ladies' night, and then it's a wine tumbler giveaway to the first A few folks that get there, don't know exactly how many. We're never there in time to do
not
that.
Sure, look, not sure how often a top 25 team's going to come here midweek.
No, you're right. You're right.
The schedule. I mean, this is a good tune-up.
It will be very often, you know, in the regular season when you get into conference play. But, yeah. But you're right. Not for midweek games, it's really unusual.
You know, that's the other thing about, like, I understand that it's opening weekend and you'd hope, you know, you'd want Butch to be as patient as possible with these guys the first weekend. But you don't have that much time before it's Josh Donaldson Day, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about Vanderbilt being here, what, in 3 or 4 weeks? I mean, it's not all that long at all before it's opening weekend for conference play. And as we saw last year, if you're not ready to go the first 3-4 weeks of conference play, it can bury you you can fall.
Oh yes, you can dig a deep hole quickly.
Yeah, and Auburn had that, if I remember correctly, Bill. It was 0-7, 0-8. Maybe the 0-8 game is the one where they have the huge lead against Kentucky, and then Kentucky rallies back with a, you know, I mean, you go from up 6 to down 3 or 4, and like to go to 0-8 that way, right? It just felt like, oh, I mean, it's, yes, there are 22 games left, but you have to win so many of them to get close to where you want to be, and you need to avoid that, and Vanderbilt's a tough draw for that.
Opening, yeah, no kidding.
Opening conference play?
3 weeks from this Friday. It is. Three weeks from this coming Friday.
So you can understand why, like, Butch wants to smooth out the rough edges, you know, sweet.
They're getting ready. I mean, after this weekend against Wright State, they've got Samford Tuesday before they head to Arlington. And they've got Ohio State, Oregon State, and Baylor there in Arlington at Globe Life.
Hey, shout out to Team Malvo. Too right.
Yeah, how about that?
How about Auburn softball?
Number 17, Auburn softball.
Back in the top 25 already, and picking up that big win over, was it Oklahoma State?
Yes.
Over the weekend?
Number 9. They were number 9 when Auburn beat them.
Yeah, Auburn,
there we
Auburn
go. I don't know where Oklahoma State is now. They probably dropped.
Auburn at the time.
Auburn got a win over a top 10 team.
Yeah, a team that was in the top 10 when Auburn beat them, and that's a big-time win. For Team Malvo in their first season at the helm of the Auburn softball program, and look, there are folks who thought there was some, like, even in a positively loaded SEC, some good players on this Auburn team, and they
have crushed the ball,
and they're
just pounding home runs like crazy.
Yeah, and so far so good for the new regime in softball. Shout out to those coaches.
Yeah, so all of that going on. Again, a reminder that tomorrow there will be no drive because Auburn baseball will be on right here on ESPN 106.7.
Okay. I don't feel as guilty about missing the show tomorrow.
Well, no, it's one of those situations. I mean, we Saturday when, of course, Wings 94.3 is going to be the home for Auburn basketball and is for Auburn baseball when there's not a possible conflict. Saturday, the basketball game ran so long that it was a good thing that it had already been planned for baseball to be on ESPN 106.7 because basketball ran past 5:45 and the pregame had already started. As a matter of fact, by the time the postgame was over, the baseball game had started. So the same sort of thing is going on tomorrow with baseball here on ESPN 106.7. That's a 4:00 first pitch on hump day over at the stadium. And then basketball tomorrow night, 7:30 will be the pregame on Wings 94.3.
Not that many games left in the schedules, Andy. So, I mean, you're two laps into a three-lap race.
That's
in
exactly
the SEC.
Right.
You got six of them left.
Four of them at home.
But a pair of teams. You're also I think you're going to start facing increasingly desperate opponents, right? When you think about what these wins.
Oh, you're
could
right.
Mean.
The next three,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, when you think
Ole Miss after dropping that game at home to Mississippi State.
Lenardi currently has Arkansas and Oklahoma as part of his
last four
that aren't in play-in games, I think. And then I think he's got Georgia in a play-in game right now, as a matter of fact. I could have some of that. I'll pull up the bracketology and get the exact right figures on that. But I believe, I mean, it is a pair of Lenardi's most recent update has Georgia out of the tournament. So you're talking about a Georgia team. You think about what a win.
Yeah, a win. Well, a win for Georgia out, but Arkansas one of the last four in.
And I think he's got them in the play-in game right now. He's got Arkansas as a team that would need to.
So a win by either of those teams at Auburn.
Massive.
Would, I think, put them in.
Gigantic.
Barring just a collapse outside that.
It would be a gigantic feather in the cap. It would be a huge addition to their tournament resume. And for a Georgia team that's trending the wrong way, right? I mean, they were 14-2 after they beat Oklahoma on January 11th.
Were they 2-0 or 2-1? They got off to a decent start. In conference,
they were 2-1. 2-1 in league play. Beat Kentucky,
So they've lost 8 of their last 10 SEC games.
They've lost 8 of their last 10, and the two wins are South Carolina and LSU.
Oh,
so you think about
who play tonight?
So yeah, big.
Can South Carolina get their first conference win of the year?
Massive opportunity for South Carolina because you don't know how many of these they're going to win. But hey, LSU was down big to Oklahoma. And came back and won that game. And LSU in Norman. And that's an Oklahoma team that I think they're playing their way out of the tournament.
It's crazy. No kidding. They're 3-9 in conference now.
Yeah.
3-9.
I mean, because of what they were able to do in the non-conference, I think there's still this belief that
they were 13-0 coming into the SEC play.
But I think if you project what they're probably going to do the rest of the way, they don't look like a team that's going to be able to hang on. And
why I wonder if they're really. I mean, I'm still thinking it's liable to end up being 11. SEC teams in. I don't know that you're going to be able to get 13, or there was even some talk of 14 last week. But as you see more and more teams, I mean, if you've got 11 or 12 conference losses, which
LSU, Oklahoma was up.
Are going to have.
Oklahoma was up like 15 in that game too, and LSU comes back and wins in the second half. Just a bad look. You better beat if you're in the SEC. You better beat South Carolina and you better beat LSU.
That's right.
And probably Oklahoma too, because I don't know how many
Oklahoma's just a game ahead of LSU now.
Yeah. I mean I don't know how many, and Georgia's probably in that mix.
Georgia's a half game ahead of Oklahoma.
I think those are, if I had to push all my chips in and tell you how I think it shakes out, I think everyone in the SEC is in the tournament except those four teams. I think everyone's in except South Carolina, LSU, Georgia, and Oklahoma.
Who does Arkansas play to finish things up? Because they're 4-8. All right. I mean, if they finish 6-12, are they going to get in? Yeah, are they going to get in with a 17-14 record?
6-12 and 17-14 is not terribly impressive. Too. I mean, we've seen teams get in with.
Yeah, and I mean this the this conference will help. But I think I think that might be very tough.
Arkansas finishes their final three this month. Auburn at home. You know, they go to Auburn. They host Missouri and they host Texas.
None of those are sure wins.
Next month they go to South Carolina.
Okay, that should be.
They go to Vanderbilt, and they host Mississippi State. They got to win. How many of those they got to win?
I think they need to win at least three of the last six to put them at 7-11 and put them at 18-13 going into the tournament.
If they're going to go 3-3, it would really help if one of the two wins was Auburn or Missouri.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like you need to win one of those two, I think, to bolster the resume that way. I think if you go 3-3 down the stretch, but the three wins are
South Carolina,
Vanderbilt, and Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be. I think you're not sure about where you stand going into the SEC tournament at that point. But they're good enough to win.
They're good enough to win tomorrow night.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break.
I don't know how many teams that have come to Neville Arena in conference play where you said, you know, they as far as personnel, they're probably good enough to win on the road at Neville Arena in the SEC. Florida was, clearly.
Yep.
But I mean, I think you wondered it was State.
I thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, Missouri didn't seem like it at the time, and now here we are talking about Missouri as a four seed.
Missouri's real. They are for real. They're a lot better than we thought they were. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us, so stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill Cameron looking to make it to the ballpark in time, so I will I will. I'll be in the captain's chair the rest of the way. Drew at the controls doing a great job as always, and we're thrilled to welcome in our good buddy who joins us at the bottom of the hour on Tuesdays whenever he can in hour number two on the drive, and that's Jake Crane from Crane and Company. How you doing, Jake?
Oh, man, I'm doing absolutely fantastic, and hope everybody's bracing for are y'all getting snow up there?
We're not getting snow. We're going to get some cold weather tonight. It's supposed to be real cold, I think, overnight, Thursday going into Friday. You know, you could have, like if you're outside sunrise the next couple of days, it could flirt with freezing or so, but I don't think there's supposed to be any precipitation.
Gotcha. It's supposed to snow about 3 to 5 inches up here, so I'm just bracing for that.
We got a little bit of that in January, and I think we're okay for a while as far as
cool for about 5 minutes.
No, we've had some beautiful weather. You know, at times the last couple of weeks. You know, it was baseball season got started here this past weekend, and they were able to get the games in with a little problem. I know they're having to shuffle some games around in different parts of the Southeast this week, because of the expectation that the weather might not cooperate. But no, it's the right time of year for stuff like that. And it's also, we were just talking about it in the last segment, Jake, it's the right time of year for basketball games to get more important. Teams that don't know where they stand in the tournament or in the race for the conference title, you know, every single game takes on additional importance. And I don't know if there was a more important game all season than the one we saw Saturday in Tuscaloosa, yeah, between Auburn and Alabama.
Well, I mean, even if you separate out the most important parts, I mean, even if you take out the 1-2 matchup, which we may never see that again between Auburn and Alabama. I mean, outside of this year, we could see it again in a couple weeks when they come to Neville, but we'll see how each team navigates the rest. Take out the number one overall seed implications. Just from an SEC standing standpoint, that was such a massive win and a masterful performance, because now when you look at really who Auburn's competing against, and it's obvious that Alabama is one of them with their record, because I believe that does give them two losses in the conference, but you look at Florida, who the rest of their SEC schedule isn't exactly a walk amongst the tulips, but right now, I mean, you've got, outside of Bama, Florida's 9-3, A&M's 9-3, who Auburn plays, and Missouri's 8-4. Getting that full game up on Alabama and winning the tiebreaker so far is massive. If Auburn can take care of business at home the next three games and go 2-1 in that backstretch, which isn't going to be easy, at Kentucky, at A&M, and then home against Alabama, you've had to lock this thing up. But if you're an Auburn fan, you're rooting for, you know, anybody that's playing Florida. You're rooting for Mississippi State tonight against A&M, and you're rooting for Missouri against Alabama, because that would really give Auburn a leg up. But just an absolute massive win from so many different standpoints, outside of just it's always nice to go beat them in front of their family and friends.
What stood out to you from Auburn's performance on Saturday? I thought the way they contested the three-point line after the game against Florida, you know, I thought the way they made it difficult for Alabama, you know, whenever anyone from Alabama, because I mean, every single player who got into the game for Alabama attempted a three-point shot, and Auburn guarded like every single player for Alabama was a threat from the perimeter, and I thought Alabama really struggled to adjust to the way Auburn was running them off the line.
Well, you know, I thought the most impressive, you know, moments of the game for Auburn was when they counterpunched. You know, Auburn came out and threw the first punch, got up 9-0, Bama ate into that, and every time they would get close, Auburn would make a run, including with 7 minutes to go in the game. And that shows you guts and fearlessness, and that's what you have to have, whether it's in the regular season or in the NCAA tournament, when an opponent's playing out of their mind and you may be better than them, but they come back and get the momentum. That's going to be the difference. And Dan, the way Auburn played in that game against Alabama, they really looked like the team that they were at the beginning of the year, where they were playing together on defense, multiple guys were scoring, but when the momentum switched to the other side, they grabbed it right back. And doing that in that hostile of an environment, in that big of a game, having freshmen step up and seniors step up, I think it shows you the confidence that this Auburn team has. It's not arrogance. it's confidence, and those are two different things.
Yeah, and I would even say, like, on top of confidence, it's composure, right? Being able to, because we've seen confident Auburn teams in the past that maybe weren't at their best in high leverage moments, weren't in their best in high leverage games, and I think this group, like, it, you know, on top of the fact that they're very good and they're clearly having a lot of fun playing well out there, it's the way that they have an answer for on both ends of the floor. They have an answer for seemingly any kind of adversity.
Well, I mean, Dan, we always say on Crane and Company, the teams that win the most and that win in the biggest moments can win the most ways. You just went on the road and you beat Alabama 94-85 in a high-scoring game. We've seen Auburn be able to light up the scoreboard on offense and win shootouts, but they also can beat Tennessee 53-51. They can also find a way when they're not playing their best or the shots aren't falling in. And they don't let, and this is probably the most important part, and I think it's the biggest compliment to Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl and this coaching staff, they don't let their offense affect their defense. Defense is non-negotiable. They struggled a little bit rebounding in the middle of the year. We can talk about Janai being maybe a little bit more of a finesse big than he is an enforcer, but when Dylan Cardwell and Chaney Johnson do the dirty work, and they let the offense run through Janai, and they're willing to be unselfish, and Chaney knows when to turn it on the offensive end and not. This team is very hard to beat because they're not weak in any area. And the fact that you can switch defensively, 1 through 5, which means your center can guard their point guard on the perimeter. Your guards are big and long enough to guard 4s, and when 5s are out on the perimeter, they're strong enough and sturdy enough to not just get bodied. It's so impressive to watch the maturity of this team, even though sometimes people think they may overdo it. When it comes to gameplay, they're incredibly mature.
Yeah, you saw Chaney at times picking up the ball, you know, on Aiden or on Mark Sears on Saturday, right? As far as
Dylan Cardwell's out there guarding point guard.
Yep.
And staying with them and inviting them, please drive, so I can send this thing up to the guy selling popcorn.
And usually when a team has that in college basketball, even like a high-level team, like I feel like you're talking about a team that might have problems shooting. You know, a team playing defense like that, prioritizing defense like that, you wonder what kind of offense you're going to get. You know, Auburn usually has 4 or 5 outside shooting threats on the floor at a given time, depending on what personnel is out there. And I think that's part of the secret sauce, Jake, is being able to have shooting threats from that many places, because when Auburn faces a team that doesn't shoot from all 5 spots and they can back off guys, boy, it makes it tough on the players that are expected to get loose on the perimeter.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when they have the lineup out there where it's, you know, Janai at the 5 and Chaney at the 4 and Chad at the 3 and, you know, whether it's Miles at the 2 and Denver at the 1 or Denver at the 2 and Tahad at the 1, everybody is shooting. So you can stretch out defenses. And I'm telling you, the difference, everybody talks about the 3-pointer, and I get it. But I think one of the biggest differences in this Auburn team is that the guard spot, they can all drive and score. You know, in the past, some of Auburn's smaller guards haven't been great at driving and scoring. But Miles Kelly can drive and finish. Denver can drive and finish. Tahad can drive and finish. So how do you defend Auburn? What do you do? What is the answer? You can't play off them. You can't play drop coverage like Bama did, because Auburn's going to eat you alive. You can stay on top of them, that's fine, and get out on the perimeter, but they're going to kick it into Janai. Then you're going to have to double, or the guards are going to drive, and then you're going to have to double, and then they're going to kick it out. It's just, you have to pick the way that Auburn is going to beat you. And when you have to do that, it really takes a shot at your confidence.
Well, the key is, and I know it's easy to say, but it's like you can't have a weakness Auburn can exploit. Right, like if you can, you need to be like Florida, to their credit. Like I think Florida played the defense they play most of the time, and they just had the personnel to match up with Auburn and hang with Auburn on a lot of Auburn's possessions.
And Florida didn't miss a shot either. I mean, Walter Clayton was shooting them from basically half court, and they were going in. So that's what it's going to take. It's going to take an anomalous night of you having the personnel that can hang with Auburn, which there's very few teams that do, and then you shooting the ball really well to be able to stay ahead of Auburn. And the odds of that happening or a team having that are so slim. And that's where Auburn has the biggest advantage, is not only do you have to be able to match up with them personnel-wise, you have to play extremely well to win, even if you do match up personnel-wise.
Yeah, and then looking at Alabama, you know, I don't want to speak in absolutes because they went to the Final Four last year, but I think it's fair to wonder if they have the defense, for a tournament run. I feel like that's going to be the story. If they don't make a deep tournament run, is going to be their defense and probably their shooting letting them down. I think they're an excellent team that when playing well can beat anyone in college basketball. I feel this way about Tennessee too, but they also might have a flaw that could open the door to an upset. In Tennessee's case, it's their offense. In Bama's case, it's probably their defense and their reliance on the 3-point shot.
Well, look, I think their defense is a lot better this year than they were last year. Now their 3-point shooting isn't as good, especially at home this year, as it was last year. But to me, the fatal flaw for Alabama is they don't have a big that is a legitimate back down scoring threat. Right? If Grant Nelson isn't driving and scoring, Cliff, who's a great defender, who's kind of their Dylan Cardwell, he's not a scorer. So Bama doesn't have a Jani Broome. Bama doesn't have a Condon like Florida has. And when you look at Tennessee, I think Tennessee's kind of in the same boat. Akpara isn't a great scorer down low. So if the shots aren't falling and you're not able to drive and finish, or Diabate isn't able to get an inordinate amount of rebounds, then you really have a facet of offense that isn't very good. I mean, if you go back and look at that Auburn-Alabama game, what was the biggest difference? Auburn could kick it down to Chaney, and he could back you down and score. Auburn could kick it down to Jani Broome, and he could back you down and score. I even look at a team like NC State last year. They really just gave the ball to DJ Burns and let him back everybody down, including Duke late in the tournament, and go win that game. You have to have that guy. It's like having a run game in football. You're not going to be able to just throw your way to a win every week.
State and A&M, the headlining game in the SEC tonight, two ranked opponents in Starkville before the teams that we were just talking about, Bama and Auburn, back in action tomorrow night. What are you watching midweek in the SEC, Jake?
Well, obviously, if you're an Auburn fan, you're rooting for Mississippi State tonight, not just because it elevates Mississippi State when you look at the quad system and keeping them a quad one win and this, that, or the other, but it would give A&M that fourth conference loss. And when you're looking ahead and projecting at Auburn, and I don't want to assume anything, but if Auburn wins the next three games, if Missouri has four losses and A&M has four losses, Kentucky and Tennessee both have more than four losses, you get to play Bama again. If Bama has three losses, you could clinch this thing before you even play Alabama, which, again, you want to win that game anyway. It's at home. It's against Alabama. I get it. But I'd much rather clinch the SEC regular season before it's done than have to win that last game to clinch it or share it.
Tennessee goes to College Station on Saturday. That's going to be carnage. They can't show that at 11 a.m. Right, you think about
it. That's going to be like the first couple minutes of USA Canada.
No, that thing. That thing's going to be like the if you've ever seen the fight in They Live, that's what Tennessee versus Texas A&M is going
to
be
That game may be 49-46.
Yeah, I can't. Physical doesn't even begin to tell the story of what that's going to be like. Alabama, Missouri tomorrow, Jake. What do you think?
Well, I think this Alabama team's going to be upset, but you look stylistically, they're so similar in the way that they play. I like the over, I can promise you that. I think it's going to be a one-possession game. But look, if you're an Auburn fan, you're always rooting against Alabama. But if Missouri could win this, and I tell you what, that Missouri win that Auburn got to start off conference play has just gotten better and better and better as this thing's gone. I'm actually going to take Bama in that one, but I would love to be wrong.
Yeah, Missouri, they'd beaten They'd beaten Kansas and they'd played Illinois close, but I think people sort of looked at them with skepticism when they came to Auburn back in January. The game wasn't all that competitive, which I think made matters worse. And all they've done since then is play like one of the best teams in the SEC. Missouri has been very good. They haven't beaten top opponents. You know, I would say they lost their chance against Tennessee. They lost at home to A&M. They did beat Florida in Gainesville. You know, that was you know, they did that right after the Auburn win. But it's Missouri's chugging along, and what a job Coach Gates is doing.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if Auburn wasn't doing what Auburn was doing, I think Dennis Gates would be a runaway for Coach of the Year. And I still think Mark Byington may get some votes with what he's doing at Vanderbilt. It's been incredibly impressive in his first year there, taking down Kentucky at home, taking down Tennessee at home. But, I mean, Missouri, you talk about shooters. I mean, Missouri's got a bunch of shooters. And when you look at that Alabama game, there may be more free throws taken in that game than we've seen in 10 years.
Cannot wait to see what happens. We will have another week of conference action to talk about next week, Jake, as we get closer to Selection Sunday.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. What the SEC is doing in basketball is just absolutely incredible. The level of play is so high. And, Auburn's got to keep taking care of business. You know, keep the main thing, go out, play well, defend home court against Arkansas, and you can reach one of your big goals before the year's out in the most historic year in the history of the SEC in college basketball. And what a sweet victory it was on the road in Coleman Coliseum, because nothing brings a smile to my face like seeing tears on theirs.
Tell everybody how they can find all the work you guys are doing.
Really easy. Just go to Google. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N & Company. We're everywhere. Come hang out with us. Talked a lot of Auburn basketball today. And make sure you're dialed in, because we have a pretty good time.
Cannot wait to talk to you again. Great stuff, Jake. We will we'll check in with you soon.
All right, Dan. Appreciate it, buddy.
Jake Crane from Crane & Company joining us, as he does most Tuesdays when his schedule allows him. We will wrap the show up when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Drive.
At University Ace Hardware, we're excited to reward our loyal customers. Get an extra 5%